Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Traitors has taken over our TV screens, and there's an Irish series of the show due to be commissioned for RTE. But we're asking, why are we so invested in deception? And do you know if somebody is lying to you? It's 1800 453 106. That's the WhatsApp number. Professor, I should say, of psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, Brendan Kelly, is with me on the line today. Brendan, are you a fan of Traitors, first of all?
Yes, I watch it. I'm not an enormous fan. I'm not terribly interested in deceit and trying to figure these things out on TV. But it's funny because we're all interested in lies and who's telling us lies. And sometimes we tell lies ourselves. So I can see the appeal. It appeals to something quite profound in our makeup, this idea that maybe we're being lied to and we just can't figure it out.
Just for people maybe, Brendan, that aren't familiar with the programme, right? Just explain how the show works.
Right. Well, I mean, Traitors, it's all about deceit. I don't quite know. I mean, it's very hard to describe without having seen it. It's a sort of a psychological adventure where people are moved into this castle and they complete challenges and missions. But among them, there are traitors who are sabotaging things and picking off the other contestants. So there's a lot of detection, there's backstabbing, trust, betrayal of trust, and the so-called loyalists need to root out the traitors to win. Or, of course, there's also losing everything. So it's all about human psychology, it's about interaction, the truth, lies, and figuring out who's who, if you're able to.
So that's why there's so much appeal around the show.
Absolutely, because we love this notion that we can figure out each other and know who's telling the truth, know who's telling lies, and also that we have ourselves this mix of telling lies and telling the truth. And that's the real appeal, because we recognise ourselves in the truth tellers, we recognise ourselves in the liars, and we also like to figure out who's who and who's doing what.
So you, as a professor of psychiatry, you're sitting down, you're watching Traitors in the knowledge that you know this show is coming to Ireland. Are you able to pick out the good liars and the bad ones from the programme, Brendan?
Well, it's very hard to pick them out, particularly on TV. It's probably slightly easier in real life where, you know, the game isn't lying. The focus is on lying and deceit in the TV programme. In real life, the focus is different. So it's easier to pick up on the inconsistent stories, the unusual body language that goes with lying, the hesitancy. And above all, in life rather than in Traitors, the over-detailed explanations that people provide when they're telling lies.
An example. So this is now for people, if you think somebody in your life is lying to you all of the time, this is how you spot a good liar. Well, maybe a bad liar, actually.
Yes, indeed. So beware particularly of this excessive information that people give. They're very anxious you believe the story. So if somebody said, you know, I was out when you phoned, for example, they might go on to say, I was out at the shopping centre, I was buying things, I was buying clothes, I have the clothes at home if you want to see them. I was very busy, I wasn't here. I actually have the receipts with timings as well. So that's an exaggeration, but we do provide too many details as if we're trying to persuade ourselves as we try to persuade other people because we know there is a lie to be covered over. Our speech pattern changes as well. Well, we tend to speed up a lot when we're lying, and our pitch changes. Now, it can go any way. It's just different. And our facial expressions change more quickly when we're lying. Also, we look more anxious because we want people to believe us. We're having an anxiety because we're lying. So we look more anxious because we're trying to convey to other people that what we're telling is the truth. And we know well our body language might be off as well. We might be looking tense, we might be looking nervous, and we'll be, if you like, distancing ourselves from the lie. So, for example, we'll use phrases like to be honest or to tell you the truth or believe me when I tell you. We will use these phrases and they somehow distance us from the lie.
Brendan, hang on a second. I use to be honest a lot. And genuinely, when I am telling the truth, like it's a phrase I use an awful lot. But is it that particular phrase, or is it that people find a crutch to to lean on when they're telling the lie.
People find a crutch, and it's often that phrase. And I don't want to get into analysing you too much on national radio. I'm not certain the nation is ready for that yet. But to be honest, is one of the phrases that is used. It's also used honestly, of course, but it can be used. The other thing to watch out, though, that would be wise. But the other thing that people use is they tend to move to the passive voice. So when they're lying, so they avoid using I or me. They say something was done or something happened. And it's a way of distancing themselves from the lie. So if someone's speech structure changes a lot suddenly, you have to ask yourself, wait a minute now, what's going on here? What are they doing? Why are they distancing themselves from what they're saying? And it might be because they're telling a lie.
The one thing I notice sometimes people do, right, when they're telling, whether it be a white lie or a full-on big lie, they'll repeat your question. So, example, if I say to you, Brendan, what did you do on Saturday night? And the response I get is, what did I do on Saturday night? Let me think now. What? So they nearly repeat the question two and three times that they've been asked. And you can nearly tell it provides about a 17, 18 second window to come up with some sort of an answer.
No, it absolutely does. And we can use that. And it's funny, we tend to not perceive how that looks to other people. Like what you describe is a fairly obvious example. Yeah. And if we thought about it for a minute, people would know that you're making it up. And yes, we do it. But lies, you know, we lie sometimes because we want to be lied to. Like we don't always want to deal in the truth.
Absolutely.
So you might know somebody's lying or exaggerating or changing things, but you might let them off with it and just note it or even feel it in your gut, because a lot of these things I'm describing are subtle. You might not think them consciously, but they'll go in. You'll have a good feeling the other person is lying, although you mightn't fully know why you think that. We're very subtle creatures, Andrea. We interact with enormous sensitivity. So if you feel that someone is lying, you trust your intuition, because they're probably giving you these little tells that they're lying in their language or their the way they move their bodies.
Now, is there any truth to this idea that people tend to look to their left? You know, looking to their left. Is that true? Does that indicate it's a lie?
No. Not necessarily looking to the left, but people looking away and avoiding direct eye contact is just another way people distance themselves from the lie. Just like not using the word I or me, adding in extra bits to sentences like to tell you the truth or believe me. Also, redirecting eye contact away from the person you're speaking to, it makes your lie feel less like a lie. It makes it feel less direct, more distant. Maybe it makes it feel less untruthful. So a change in behaviour, yes, but particularly looking to the left, not especially.
Plenty to consider if we do want to tell a lie over the weekend, or maybe you're trying to catch somebody out on a lie. You can take all of Brendan's tips and tricks there. Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin. Brendan, thanks a million for joining us here, as always, on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.